Hello, welcome to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris. In this month's episode, we find out how we tell the difference between two attractive faces, how hypochondria influences your partner preferences, and meet the parents, why mum and dad so often disapprove of who their children bring home to dinner. This is the January edition of the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast from oraclelab.co.uk. The holiday season is a time when we bask in the warmth of family. But I don't know about you, by the time New Year arrives, I'd be happy to chuck all my miscellaneous aunts and uncles in a crate and ship them off to Zanzibar. Family members are great, but cram too many into a single room and mix in a few bottles of sherry and some electronic toys that come batteries not included, and you've got the perfect recipe for Christmas conflict. If only we could look forward to a harmonious household come January the 1st. But alas, it seems that relatives can be reluctant to reach consensus on a number of non-seasonal topics, chief amongst which is the romantic behaviour of the younger generation. We have a very clear idea about the sort of person we most certainly wouldn't want to bring home to mum and dad. Karen Perilou of the University of Texas at Austin recruited 300 undergraduate students for a study of partner preferences. She had these people rank a list of traits in order of how desirable they would be in a long-term partner. Traits such as good earning capacity, intelligent, healthy, religious, and physically attractive. The researchers then contacted the parents of the participants and had them rank the same list of traits according to how important they'd be in a partner for their offspring. Perilou found that parents preferred that their offspring had a partner with good earning potential and a college degree. Offspring also valued these traits, but not as much as their parents did. Offspring themselves tended to place greater value on physical attractiveness and a good personality. Why should parents disapprove of their sons and daughters' choice of partner? Well, one theory is that parents and offspring reap different benefits from an offspring's partner. When the offspring seeks a mate, they should care more about heritable benefits, advantages that can be passed on genetically to their offspring. Parents, on the other hand, share fewer genes with their grandchildren than they do with their own kids, so they're less interested in a good genetic inheritance. Instead, they should be more concerned with social advantages, which can be spread throughout the family. Basically, if your partner is of high social standing, that might provide an advantage to all your relatives. But if he or she is good-looking, that's more of an advantage to you and your children, but not so much to your wider family. Christmas might be over, but Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Brilliant. Negotiating the mating market's tricky because we need to locate someone who's the best match for us and who also agrees that we're the best match for them. It doesn't make sense to try our chances with someone who's out of our league because the chances are we won't get very far. But we also want to make sure we pair up with someone who's as attractive as possible. How do we work out where to expend our efforts? Drew Bailey of the University of Missouri recently theorised that men should be able to perceive very slight differences in the attractiveness of women who are similar in attractiveness to those men. Putting it another way, if we take a man of roughly average attractiveness and ask him to say whether Jessica Alba or Megan Fox is better looking, he might find it difficult to judge. At the very least, more difficult than he would find it to differentiate two girl-next-door types. That makes sense because most average Joes have very little chance of wooing a Hollywood star, so a preference for Alba over Fox or Fox over Alba is moot. However, average Joe may have better luck with average Jane or Janet, so it would be advantageous to be able to ascertain whether Jane has the edge over Janet or vice versa. Bailey showed 150 men pairs of photographs of women. Rather than viewing pictures of famous actresses, the men saw photographs of student women who ranged from high to low attractiveness. The women were photographed at different points during their menstrual cycle, and this was because we know from previous research that women are more facially attractive around the time when they ovulate. No one knows quite why, but it may have something to do with hormonal effects on face shape or makeup use. By collecting photographs in this way, the researchers could ensure that their face pairs looked very similar, because they were the same person. But they also knew that one image would be predictably more attractive than the other, the one taken around ovulation. Bailey found that when men were shown pairs of photographs of women who were of roughly similar attractiveness to them, they tended to choose the photograph taken when the woman was ovulating, and more attractive. Interestingly, these perceptions are somewhat variable. When men were given a fake attractiveness test and told that the results indicated that they were more attractive than they really were, their behaviour changed. They were more sensitive to variation in the attractiveness of especially good-looking women. Gotta love that flexible and fragile male ego. Our mate preferences are not only sensitive to changes in our own attractiveness, but also to changes in the environment. Sometimes the characteristics of where we live mean that a partner with particular traits is more or less suitable, and our tastes subtly vary to take this into account. This explains, for instance, why larger women are more attractive in locations where food is scarce, and why, conversely, in food-rich environments, preferences for leaner women tend to prevail. Preferences for different types of men can also vary. As we've seen in previous podcasts, two important indicators of attractiveness are masculinity and symmetry. Men with masculine and symmetrical faces are more attractive, probably because these traits signal healthiness, even though masculine men do tend to be less emotionally warm and committed partners. Some researchers have theorised that cues to healthiness might be especially attractive in environments that are hostile, where there are lots of diseases, because finding a mate who's healthy can help us to have healthy offspring. Healthy offspring are more likely to thrive in hostile environments. Conversely, other researchers have suggested that preferences for healthy traits could be stronger in less hostile locations. The logic here is that when resources are plentiful, women might not need a committed partner to help them raise their offspring, so they should prefer healthy, masculine bad boys over men who are kind, committed, and feminine. Anthony Little of Stirling University in Scotland ran a study to find out which of these two theories was correct. He assessed men and women's preferences for symmetry and masculinity in opposite sex faces. Next, he showed the participants a slideshow of images. For half of the participants, the images in the slideshow were of objects associated with germs. For example, a kitchen cloth with a red stain on it that looked like blood. The other half of the participants saw similar images that were not associated with germs, such as a kitchen cloth with a stain that looked like blue cleaning fluid. After the slideshow, the participants repeated the masculinity and symmetry preference tests, and this was so Little could work out whether the slideshow had affected their preferences for these two traits. His results, which were published this month in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society of London, indicated that when men and women were exposed to a slideshow of germ-related images, they preferred opposite-sex faces that were more symmetric. Men's preferences for femininity and women's preferences for masculinity were also increased by exposure to the germ-related images. Exposure to the non-germ-related images didn't change preferences at all. Last month, I suggested that feminine men in need of a date could improve their chances by moving somewhere with a very low incidence of crime. I suppose this month, my suggestion would be to relocate somewhere that nobody gets sick. I don't know where this magical place might be. Narnia? That's all for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the research featured in today's show, head over to www.oraclelab.co.uk and click on podcasts. You can also keep up with new research throughout the month by following Oracle Lab on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris.